I'll say this, but I know you won't believe this. I'll keep this short and sweet. You can see where I'd like you to turn, Psalm 37, if you would, please. We're in a series going through the summer on the book of on different chapters in Psalms, and today is a well-marked path from Psalm 37, and I'd like to read that, the first 11 verses, and then we'll pray. And the whole theme for this series is called Life is an Adventure, and the first 2 months are going to be like we're on a hike. And so I hope that you'll plan to be here as often as you can and join us. Fret not yourself because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers, for they will soon fade like the grass and wither like the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Be still before the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not yourself over the one who prospers in his way, over the man who carries out evil devices. Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not yourself, it tends only to evil. For the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. In just a little while, the wicked will be no more. Though you look carefully at his place, he will not be there. But the meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant peace. Let's pray together as we ask God's blessing, please. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you that you are a good, good Father. We thank you that you are a God who is good. And even when things don't look so good, you are good. And that you're leading us onto greater and greater things. I pray that as we study this passage, we will see that truth today. That we will see that the path that you have marked out for us is the best one. Even though sometimes it is rocky, even though sometimes it is full of twists and turns, it is still the best path to go. Because as we walk it, you walk it with us. And so I pray that you will open your word up to us this morning, that you will help us to understand it. And but more than that, to be able to grasp it and apply it, that when we walk each day of this coming week, and then obviously beyond that, but as we walk each day this week, we'll see how your word applies to our day and how we live and act and move. And then I pray, Father, that as I bring the message, that you'll help me to hide behind the cross, and that we might be able to see Jesus and Jesus only. For it's in His name I pray. Amen. When you are on a hike, it is sometimes easy to get lost. And it's hardly a summer goes by that you don't read in the news or hear on the news of someone who got lost on a hike. Back in April, I read a story and I clipped it and actually printed it out because it's the story of a mother and daughter who were hiking in New Zealand. They went on a day hike that was only supposed to take 6 to 8 hours. 5 days later, they were found. Rachel and her mother, Carolyn, were experienced day hikers, but they got messed up on the hike because they followed the wrong markers. They followed, instead of the orange markers, which were the markers that they were of the path, they followed the blue markers, which was actually tracking possums. And so they ended up lost. But not only that, they ended up, that as Rachel walked through a creek, she slipped and fell, hit her head. And as a result of that, lost all ability to walk. And so for 5 days, they spent their time in the wilderness unequipped for 40 degree nights. Unequipped food-wise for something that was going to last that long. However, the way that they were saved is that mom went out and she grabbed branches and found some clearings, and out of these branches she formed the words help. And she found two clearings to do that. And because they did not return the rental car, they began to look for them. I guess that's good. That's a good thing about not returning a rental car, huh? They began to look for them, and the helicopters, as they went over top, saw the word help and realized that there was somebody in trouble. And they found Rachel and her mother Carolyn and took them to safety. Now, we look at that, and there are stories like that that happen all the time. But in reality, life is like that. It's easy to get lost in life. It's easy to get lost as we go through life, because life is not always what we think it should be. We would love to have a nice, smooth, straight, flat, easy path. Am I correct? We would love that. We would like to be able to walk and never have to worry about the rabbit trails. We would never have to worry about the roots in the path. We would never have to worry about the boulders or the obstacles that are there. We would never have to worry about the twists and the turns of our path. But following God has never been and never will be a straight path. However, Psalm 37 does give us some markers on how we can follow the path that God has laid out for us. I love Psalm 37. Very seldom do I get to preach on my favorite section of Scripture. And so as we talk about Psalm 37, we will be going through what my favorite Scripture passage is, and hopefully we'll be able to share some things for you. Let's first of all talk about the confusion at the trailhead. And like I said, our journey is often confusing. We would love to have it clear. We would love to have these lights that go along and say, follow me, follow me, follow me. And they would be straight through. And we would go from A to B, straight, flat, and no problem at all. But it's never that way. One of the problems I think that many of us who follow Christ have is a five-letter word called W-O-R-R-Y. In case you don't know what that word spells, it's worry. A panel of psychologists got together and they analyzed the things that we worry about. And kind of look at this. I thought it was kind of humorous, actually, but I wanted to share it with you. 40%, they said, of what we worry about never happens. 30% of what we worry about are events that have already taken place. 12% are needless concerns over our health. 10% deal with small things. You know, the small trifle things that really don't matter and amount to a hill of beans. And they said, all told, about 8% of what we worry about are related to legitimate concerns. 8% out of 100%. We waste a lot of time and energy worrying about things that don't matter. I found this interesting statistic. During World War II, 300,000 Americans lost their lives. During that same period of time, over 2 million people died from heart disease, brought on by worry. Imagine, if you would, how many tombstones would have on it, killed by worry. If we were to engrave the tombstone, killed by worry, how many tombstones would have that on it? Now see, as we come into Psalm 37, David knew what he was talking about. As a shepherd boy, he defended sheep. He was brought into Saul's camp to calm Saul, to sing for him, to play for him. But Saul ended up being jealous of David and trying to take his life. And so he ran. Twice he had the opportunity to kill Saul, but he said, no, I won't touch the Lord's anointed. He's God's choice. I will not do that. But even after Saul died, and even after David was given the right to be king, it took 7 years before he stepped in as king. So he knew what he was talking about when he wrote these words in verse 1. Fret not because of evildoers. Be not envious of wrongdoers. The word fret not, or that verse can be translated by the Holman Christian Standard Bible as don't be agitated by evildoers. I like that. But look at the definition that Webster gives to the word fret. To cause to suffer emotional strain, or to eat or gnaw into. To become uneasy, vexed, or worried. Do you see that word, to gnaw into? That's what worry does. It gnaws at us. It reminds us of the mouse who sits there and gnaws at something until the damage is done before you even realize it. And worry does that to our lives. It gnaws at us. It picks at us. And all of a sudden, we're its captive. And worry grows and gnaws at a person. What David is saying here is stay calm. Stay focused. Stay loose. Don't worry about those things you have no control over. Especially people. And especially the evildoers. Many of us get into the same boat of worrying about what is fair and what is not fair. How many of us have said, it is not fair that they are further ahead financially than I am because they got theirs the wrong way. They got theirs dishonestly. They're sinful. They're evil people. How come they're further ahead? David says, don't worry about them. Why? They will soon fade like grass and wither like the green herb. In other words, they'll get theirs in the end. So, if that's the case, how do we handle this challenge? Well, let's follow the signals. Let's follow the signs. And before we get there, there are two things that I really think need to be said, because these are identifying markers for a Christ follower. Number one, we tend to want everything the easy way. Let's put it this way. We like to read the headlines that say, three things to achieve happiness. Five things to do to achieve weight loss forever. Three ways and exercises to become a better cyclist. Whatever. We like the easy way. We like these lists that tell us if you do it this way, this way, this way, this way, then everything's going to be okay. Newsflash. It has never been and never will be easy to be a follower of Christ. Never has been, never will be. And unfortunately, we like this. We want things lined out. We want the easy way in finding God's way for us. God wants us to develop a relationship with Him. He doesn't want our dreams. He wants His dreams. He doesn't want our dreams. He wants His dreams for us. He wants us to embrace what He wants for us. He doesn't want us to embrace, or Him to embrace, what our dreams are. Unfortunately, there are so many followers of Christ who say, this is what I want. God, go along with it. Here's the problem that we face. As many times, and most often, God's dreams for us and plans for us are bigger and greater and better than we could ever imagine. And that we could ever come up with. His dreams are better. You see, God doesn't want us swimming in the kiddie pool. You know what God wants for all of us? He wants us to get off the shore. He wants us to get out into the ocean. He wants to take us out there where our feet don't touch the bottom. He wants to take us out there where there are sharks that are circling us. You know why? Because when we can't touch the bottom, we have to trust. When the sharks are going around us and we can't find a way out, He wants us to say, God, I need You. Because you see, it's when things are tough, not when they're easy, when they're tough, that our faith is developed and grows. And we will never know how strong our faith is or how our faith is developing if we don't go through a tough time. There's a second thing that I think we need to do is we have a problem with the inability to wait on God. To put it in another way, we are impatient people. We want it now. We don't want it a second from now. We don't want it a minute from now. We don't want it an hour from now. We want it now. But just recently, I told one of my daughters, and I have told some of you this, and I keep telling myself this phrase, God is seldom early, but He's never late. God is seldom early, but He's never late. That's an easy statement to make. It's hard to live. And it's hard to practice. When things get tough, and when you're looking around, and the waves are getting higher, and the sharks are getting a little thicker, God, I'm going to trust You. I'm going to wait on You, because You're seldom early, but You're never late. All right. Five trail markers from Psalm 37 that I like to leave you with. They all have a one-word answer that continues on. First one, verse 3, trust. Finish it out. Trust in the Lord and do good. When God calls us, He calls us away from panic. He calls us to His plan. When God called Abram, later to be named Abraham, when God called him, He called him lock, stock, and barrel. He said, Abram, pick it up and go. Now here's the point. He wasn't leading him to land that He had already shown him. He was leading him to land that He would show him. Think that through. He hadn't already shown him where He was taking him. He was saying, I'm going to take you, and I'm going to take you where I want you to be. Lock, stock, and barrel, Abram picked it up, and he followed God. Here's the point. We need to get out of the boat. And we need to start walking on the water. We need to trust. And trust is never easy. I've never been in a situation where God has revealed to me all that He has planned for me. What He has tended to do for me is peel it back like an onion. A little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit here, and then He leads. And then when I get to a certain point, He peels back a little bit more of the onion and leads some more and a little bit more of the onion. And that's the way God operates, I believe. He did it with Abraham. He said, I want you to go. And it took him a while, but Abram finally got where he was going. And now look what we have. Father of many nations. Second word is delight. Finish it out. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. We find our fulfillment, our joy, and our completeness not in ourselves. We find it in God. And here's the key. Our greatest desire is what? Our greatest desire is to delight ourselves in Him. Our greatest desire should not be what Bill wants. My greatest desire should be, what does God want? In other words, He should be my first priority. And what He wants matters completely. And I have to say that's one of the problems I have with the name and claim it theology that tells God this is what I want, when instead I ought to be saying, God, whatever you want, I'm yours. Delight yourself in the Lord. Third word. What is it? Commit. Some of you cheated and looked up top, but commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will act. Sometimes painfully. Step by painful step, but he says, commit yourself to him. It's an interesting word. The Hebrew word for commit means to roll over to God. It's the same word used in 1 Peter chapter 5, which says, cast all your care on God because he cares for you. When you cast, it's a picture of a person who's carrying this huge burden on his back, and all of a sudden he loosens the straps and lets it go. And he gives it to God and lets it roll over to him. That's the picture that he says, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will act. Fourth word. What is it? Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Pascal once said, what is wrong with the world is that man does not know how to stay quietly in his own room. I'm guilty. I'm guilty. Joe knows, and some other people know, that very seldom am I doing something where music is not going on. The only time music is not playing is when I'm studying, unless it's classical music, and that's because it has no form or function in my head. It just is background. It's just noise back there because there's no words to it. It's the only time. Any other time there's music going, I don't sit quiet very well. And yet, what's he telling me to do? Be still. What this is it's a conscious awareness of being in the presence of God. It's a conscious awareness of being in the presence of God, where I place myself and you place yourself in the hand of God. Final word, refrain from anger. He would have to get to that one. And forsake wrath. You see, there's a reason for that, though. When you watch people get ahead whom you know are evil, the one thing we suffer with is allowing that to build within us. He is not saying it's wrong to get angry. There are times that anger is justified. But look what it says. Fret not yourself. There's that word again. It tends only to evil, for the evildoers shall be cut off, but those who wait for the Lord shall inherit the land. See, what happens is when we sit there and we stew, we allow this stewing to become anger. The anger becomes bitterness. And we are told to get rid of bitterness because bitterness poisons the soul. If you know of anybody filled with bitterness, you know of a poisoned individual who's not fun to be around. The mark of a godly person is the ability to maintain a settled calm without all the Eastern religion gobbledygook and all that other garbage that goes along with it, where they're simply trusting God in the process. When we allow anger to linger, it leads to bitterness, and that leads to evil. He eventually finishes out by telling us, in just a little while, the wicked will be no more. In other words, they will get theirs. Their time will be the end. But notice what it says at the very end. But the meek shall inherit the land. Sound like somebody you know? Beatitude number three, by the way. And delight themselves in abundant peace. The path is marked for us. Life is an adventure. But here's the key. Staying on the path. When we get off the path and we think we know better, we're in trouble. When we get off the path and we follow those rabbit trails that we think, oh, got this made, I know better than God does, we're heading for trouble. The path is there. Trust, delight, commit, be still, and refrain from anger. There's your path. And those five qualities will light the path for you, and they'll take you straight to where you need to go. You won't worry about what other people think. You won't worry about whether this person's getting ahead or that person's getting ahead. You won't worry about where that person's going and that person. You'll be looking at the path and say, this is the path I need to go. God's word has marked it for me. I'm going to follow the path. You don't go off to the left, off to the right, or any other way. So my prayer for you this week is that you'll take these five markers and you'll allow them to mark your path this week. That you'll stop and say, oh God, is this the path that you want me to go on? Am I trusting you? Am I delighting in you? Am I committing to you? Am I being still before you? And God, don't let me get angry. But let me follow you. Because His way is best. Let's pray. And Father, I ask that you might help us this week to apply what we've learned. To take the words that are here and allow them to light our path. Help us to stop fighting you and stop thinking that we know better. That if we go this direction, it's better, or that direction, it's better. Help us to navigate around the twists and turns and the boulders and tree roots that are in front of us. But help us to trust you as you take us out into the ocean, as you take us where our feet don't touch the bottom, as we trust you where we have to get out of the boat and walk on the water. When the sharks surround us, help us to trust you and to know that you have the path planned. And help us to follow you. This week, Father, help us to apply what we are learning, what this path is. Help us to apply it to our lives. And I pray this and ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.